There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me. This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that has something stuck to the back of its neck and is making it move and stuff. That's another ham-fisted introduction by John. And joining me, as always, is not the stilted at all, Lee.
Oh, that was funny. That was a really bad pun. That was actually terrible.
How have you been, Lee?
Especially because I had to have an ergonomic assessment today.
Oh, really?
And I walked in and the person looked at me and went, huh? Yeah, you don't need to look at any of those chairs. I got special chairs for people your size over here.
What are they? Did they get them out of the Barbie doll dreamhouse thing?
I swear to God, it seemed like that. But they were actually really great chairs. So my back will be supported and my feet will touch the floor, which is
a first ever.
No idea. It's kind of a first because it doesn't happen on planes. Trust me on that. No, sorry. That was my fun part of today. But yeah, it's here. You know what, John? I was wondering. You know, is it stuck up your shirt or stuck up your, oh, wait, we're a family podcast.
Right, exactly. Okay. That's why I held that back a little bit.
We're holding that one back. So I don't think we got anybody new announced today.
Yeah, we did, but we'll discuss it in the next.
We'll discuss it in a minute. Okay.
After this one, yes.
After this one. Awesome. But you know what? I just want to go straight to our guest. You know why?
Why?
I want to go straight to our guest because he is so awesome. And he is a creator, and he is somebody who stays up way, way late doing something at Dragon Con every year that everybody loves. So I want to introduce Bo, the director of the Puppetry Track.
Hey, Bo.
Greetings, everyone.
Hey, Bo.
Hi.
So, hi. And the reason I think Bo is so awesome is because he is one of the creators of Carl, and well, of the Dragon Con janitors, Carl and Bob. The Dragon Con
Bob and Carl, the sci-fi janitor.
Bob and Carl.
Get the billing right.
I'm sorry. And it's alphabetical. My OCD should like...
Yeah, exactly. It's easy. It's alphabetical. That's how you remember, right?
So, but I'm really curious. I am wondering, am I going to get new commercials, bumpers from Bob and Carl? Because that is what I look for every year on Dragon Con TV.
Sadly, no. Bob and I are in retirement. We had a great run, and we are... So now every year we come out of retirement to host live, which is better than a video because it's live.
That's true. That is true because you never know what's going to happen live.
Exactly. So we still appear live. We host the Puppet Slam at Dragon... The late night Puppet Slam at Dragon Con on Sunday night every year, and that is what we do now. Unfortunately, our lives have happened and we're not able to make the show anymore. But we do encourage everyone, and I've heard that some people do this. We encourage you to, you know, our YouTube channel is still there. There's still hundreds of videos, hundreds that we made. And a lot of people like to sort of play them, whether they're packing or they're working on their costumes or whatever, is sort of like a, you know, getting pumped for Dragon Con sort of background stuff to do. So if you want to do that, we encourage you to do so. We're always happy, you know, that people can still enjoy our videos out there on the internet. So
there we go. So yay. And they come and they do a hosting of the Puppet Slam. So the Puppet Slam is late at night, which is not a time that Lee does well, as we all know, but it is so much fun. I went one year and I could not believe the size of... Well, I tried to go one year, and I could not believe the size of the crowd waiting to get in. So,
yeah, the crowd is pretty nuts. And in fact, since you've been last year, we were moved over to the West End.
And the Wild West End.
Yep. The room seats over 1,000 people now.
Woohoo!
We still fill it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely crazy. First of all, since we're on this topic right now, where in the Westin is that?
It's in the Peachtree Ballroom. Mm-hmm. And for those people who, are like, oh my gosh, it's over in the Westin and it's far away, which is, it isn't, you just have to cross the street and, walk a little bit out of the front of the Hyatt. But one of the things that's always been very important to me ever since the very first year that we did the Puppet Slam, before there was even a puppetry track, was the fact that people are willing to get in line.
Yes.
2 hours, 3 hours to come see our puppet show has always been just, unbelievable to me. So we have an entire program where we send puppeteers out to the line before the show. And we walk up and down the line and we entertain the line with puppets. Because, hey, if you're going to sit in line for 3 hours, the least we can do is make you laugh. Right. So I guarantee you, if you come to the slam, get in that line and we will send puppets to come and delight you with their antics, while you wait. So, it is a line worth waiting in, and we try to make it as enjoyable as we can.
There we go. Yeah.
So the puppetry track is relatively new. I mean, it's not, we've had a couple more tracks since then, but it's only a 3 or 4 years old.
We started in 2012.
Okay. So 5 years old.
Wow.
But it was actually, was born after Bob and Carl, right? So.
Correct. Bob and Carl are actually why there is a puppetry track. And the story behind that is that we got on DragonCon TV. Mm-hmm. With Bob and Carl. Woo-hoo. And it became very, the first year that we were on DragonCon TV, suddenly we had 60,000 fans. Right. So we decided to, I leveraged the popularity of the characters to DragonCon, and they gave us the Puppet Slam. So in 2011, we did the first late night Puppet Slam, and we turned away 400 people. Mm-hmm. And the line went out the door, down the street, and around the corner of the building. And so I was then, after that, I was approached in person by Pat Henry, who said, I heard about what happened with this Puppet Slam thing. People seem to be really interested in this kind of thing. Would you be interested in starting up a puppetry track? And I said yes, and here we are.
There you go.
Yeah,
it's all because of Bob and Carl.
Right, right. And
those two silly little hand puppets are why all of this, why we had Brian Henson last year.
Yeah, crazy, man.
Yeah.
And they're what's led to, Bob and Carl led to the puppetry track, which also led to Brian Henson, as you said, and also has led to a really big thing you do called the Labyrinth Ball on Thursday night.
That's right. So in addition to my work at DragonCon, I also work at the Center for Puppetry Arts in Midtown. Yep. And we the Center and DragonCon have developed a very good partnership over the years. It's a definitely a mutually beneficial partnership. And I will give you some breaking news.
Okay. So
this has not been announced officially yet. But it will be, and you guys might be the first to break it, depending on when it hits. But your DragonCon badge will get you into the Center for Puppetry Arts World of Puppetry Museum for only $5, which is less than half the ticket price, during the convention and then after the convention for about 2 weeks.
That's
so
awesome.
So now this is the museum at the Center for Puppetry
Arts.
That's
awesome, guys. Really.
Which is the largest collection of Jim Henson puppets and artifacts on display anywhere in the world. You can see Kermit, you can see Miss Piggy, you can see Dark Crystal, you can see Labyrinth. Yep. We have a whole separate Labyrinth exhibit, which is part of what the Labyrinth Ball is all about. The Labyrinth exhibit will be closing shortly after DragonCon. So I encourage everyone to take advantage of that deal and take your badge, go to the center and see our amazing museum. Take your selfie with Big Bird. See Miss Piggy, see the Fraggles, it's an incredible museum. And everyone who goes there, if you grew up with these properties, mm-hmm. it's a very powerful place to visit. It really, truly is.
Well, I think one of the things too.
Oh, hello, Echo.
Wait, how did that happen?
John?
I don't know. It's on your side.
It's on your side.
Hey!
Hey!
Hey! Oh, it stopped. Oh, she muted it. Darn.
I'm here. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, so I don't know what just happened, but some time vortex. One of the things, I listen to other podcasts, and a podcast I listen to is Night Vale, and also We Got This. And sorry, I am going to buzz market them, John, because they're a lot of fun. Not that they need our help, but I will buzz market them. And Hal Lublin went there, I think it was last year maybe, and he said when he saw the dog from Fraggle Rock, all he could think of is, oh, I wish I could take him home. So, yeah. I mean, the puppetry art, it is an awesome museum. If you've got some time before Dragon Con, or you've got some time, you're staying maybe Monday or Tuesday in Atlanta, because it's just
now,
awesome.
Real, on that point, Monday Labor Day. On Labor Day.
Yeah, so they'll be closed. But Tuesday, they'll be open. They'll be open on Tuesday. Yeah.
So go. If you get your badge early on Thursday, you can go over there on Thursday as well.
That's what I was about. Right. That was the very question I was about ready to ask. Well, since we're on this topic, how does one get there from, say, the Hyatt besides Uber?
Excellent question. So if you take the Peachtree Center Station to Art Center Station, it's only about 2 blocks of a walk from Art Center Station. If you drive, we have free parking in Midtown in our parking lot.
Oh, wow.
So it doesn't cost anything to drive to the center and park there. Or you can go from Peachtree Center Station to Art Center Station.
Okay. Well, that's cool. And Art Center Station is how many stops from...
You have free parking
in Midtown?
In Atlanta. Weird.
Yeah. It's wild.
Guys, okay. So if you're bringing your car, here's what you do.
I don't think you can do that.
It's early Thursday, as soon as they open, and then you go to Puppetry Arts and park there, because that's about the only place in downtown/midtown Atlanta that is going to have free parking.
I suspect there's a problem with that.
Parking deck.
No, I'm not saying park there the whole time. No, I'm not saying park there the whole time. Yeah, do not do that. No, I'm saying just go there then, because it's already half price. So get your badge, go see that, because nothing's going on Thursday first thing. It's okay. Yeah, go to the Puppetry Arts. Yeah, do that. Yeah, and then get on back here at the Dragon Con, and then stuff will be starting. But way you have something to do Thursday.
Start to your Dragon Con.
Exactly. I'm not saying do not park your car there all weekend. I'm just saying you can not park your car yet.
Also, on that note, last year we brought, we at the center, we made a replica of Jareth's throne from Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought it to Dragon Con last year to promote the exhibit. We will not be bringing the throne to Dragon Con this year. So if you want that amazing photo opportunity of being able to sit on the Goblin King's throne and get your picture, the only way to do that is to go to the center this year.
Awesome. So to the guests, as far as a track is concerned, what kind of guests do you have this year?
Well, some of my guests, unfortunately, have not been announced yet.
Okay.
I don't know when this is going to air. So I'm in a little sort of unfortunate gray area with who I can announce.
Mm-hmm.
But I can confirm some really exciting people.
Great.
So we will be having the Kyoto Brothers. Now, the Kyoto Brothers are Stephen Charles Edward Kyoto. They are responsible for a lot of amazing practical effects films from the 80s, including Killer Clowns from Outer Space, the Critters movies, which I was a huge fan of when I was a kid. I love the Critters movies, as well as Team America World Police.
Oh, wow. Whoa! Really?
Yes. So the all three Kyotos are going to be there. There will be in the Walk of Fame signing, your Killer Clowns DVD and whatever else. They're really cool. It's been a real pleasure to talk with them leading up to the convention about everything they do. They're doing a ton of panels on all of their different properties they've been a part of, as well as their stop motion projects. They've also done a lot of stop motion work. So we're really excited to have them this year. They're kind of like, I'm sharing them with the horror track. I'm sharing them with some other tracks. They're really exciting guests. And I think are definitely hitting something in that sort of puppetry creature world that I've been wanting to hit for a long time in our track. And we're really sort of like getting to now.
If you have never seen Killer Clowns from Outer Space, first of all, I have a clown thing, as we all know, and I don't like clowns. But this movie is
probably why. Absolutely,
you have to see it to believe it. So I would just tell everyone to go see it because, I mean, well, not go anywhere, but, you know, get the DVD and watch it. Or
get the DVD. I asked if I was allowed to, I wanted to get a cotton candy sponsor. And pass out free cotton candy at the Killer Clowns panel, and sadly, it was rejected because it was food. But man, did I want to give out cotton candy at the Killer Clowns panel? That would have been so good.
If you have your own cotton candy and want to bring it, we're not going to say no.
Oh no, bring your own cotton candy. Actually, that would be amazing. Yeah, everybody brought cotton candy to the panel. That would be fantastic. In fact, I am totally stealing that idea, and I'm going to put it out on the Puppetry Track Facebook page, encouraging everyone to bring their cotton candy to the
at least the CVS near me, they have cotton candy in that CVS. So you might be able to find cotton candy in the CVS that's over in Peachtree Center. Again, buzz marketing, somebody who doesn't need it, but there you go.
So we're really excited about the Kyoto Brothers. Then I have, this one was announced a little while ago to a great deal of excitement, is Marty Robinson, Martin Robinson. Marty is Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Yeah.
As well as Telly Monster, as well as Slime the Worm. Marty has been a part of Sesame Street for a very, very long time. And I have the pleasure of knowing him personally through the puppeteer world. And I've trained, I've taken some classes with Marty, and he is fantastic, and he is definitely one of the workhorses of the track. He is doing so much this year.
And his signings and times when he's going to be around and available to sign stuff is going to be listed on the app, right?
Yes, it will be in the Puppetry Track. He is not on Walk of Fame. He's going to have one panel long session, autograph session.
Okay.
Over near the Puppetry Track room. So if you want to get your autographs with Marty, it is not on Walk of Fame. It is a more limited time situation.
Yeah.
But he is also really, really cool and really generous. And if you come to any of the panels that he's on, something for you at the end of the panel.
I'm old style Sesame Street. I don't know where that came from. Sesame Street, which they also helped me learn my diction. And oh my God, I was there when Snuffleupagus was still considered an imaginary friend.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Kind of cool, guys. Oh my God. Yeah,
so then in addition to that, Marty's wife is also coming, and Marty's wife is Annie Evans. Now, Annie has been a writer on Sesame Street for many, many years. And in fact, they met on the set.
Aww.
Exactly. And they had a Sesame Street wedding, and it was beautiful and wonderful. So Annie will be there along with Marty, and we're going to do a couple of panels where Annie talks about, you know, what it's like to write for puppetry. And we're going to have a panel called Finding the Character's Voice.
Okay.
Sort of about character voices, and it's applicable both for puppetry and for voice actors.
Oh, that's neat. That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah, well, we try to change it up here in the Puppetry Track.
You do. I'm telling you, you're doing a little different there, Bo. Way to go. Yeah.
We do. So Marty and Annie are, you know, a total power couple package, and we're really excited to have them.
You're really talking about places that we already have puppets and fandoms that we know they're going to be puppets. What fandoms are you going to do that maybe are a little surprising?
Well, you know, ever since last year, we've had a strong relationship with the Star Wars track. So that's not surprising.
No.
I can say that what is surprising would be Tim Clark. Now, Tim Clark worked on Dark Crystal. He was one of the sculptors. He was the lead sculptor on the Mystics for Dark Crystal. And he also worked on some Fraggle Rock stuff and some Muppet Show stuff and in the Puppet Shop. But what I think is the most interesting about Tim is that he was responsible for the what I call the Puppets as Toys lines of the 80s. Now, this was the Boglins and the Sectars. Toy lines, Boglins was Mattel, and Sectars was Coleco. And they were toys that incorporated puppetry into them. And I remember growing up and seeing the Boglins in the stores and being fascinated by them. And I had one, and I was also a big fan of the Sectars, which were like sort of He-Man style action figures that rode on insects. And the insects were a puppet that you put your hand inside. And you could like put an action figure on the back of your hand on the saddle, and it was bugs and they would fly around, and it was super cool. So Tim is going to be joining us to talk about Dark Crystal, talk about Boglins, talk about Sectars, and we're excited to do this interesting new kind of like puppets as toys genre with Tim. And I had the great pleasure of hanging out with Tim at New York Comic Con last year. And he's a great guy. He's got a lot of awesome stories about all the stuff that he's done. And I think people are really going to like all of his work.
Oh, that's awesome.
Cool. I want to go back real quick as far, because I'm not sure if we mentioned this or not, but the Labyrinth ball is actually sold out. I'm not 100% sure we actually mentioned that. And it sold out fairly quickly, right? So
it sold out very quickly. And we created some other ticketing options this year. So this year we also offered VIP tickets that we offered 20 VIP tickets that allowed you to come to like a cocktail hour, an hour before the regular ball starts, where there's only 20 of those tickets and you get to hang out with all of our special guests. It's open bar.
Oh, sweet.
During that hour. Now it is the center, and so it's only beer and wine.
Right.
But still, open bar, hanging out with some of our Henson guests that I am not liberty to discuss at this time, sadly.
No.
Marty will be there. Tim will be there. Annie will be there. We have a couple, and we have some other exciting guests that we're looking forward to being able to announce very soon.
And this is just a big tease because these are sold out. So next year, look for them, and because you're going to have great guests again.
And in fact, we also offered a ultra VIP ticket package that we auctioned off, starting at $1,000 per pair.
Holy cow!
That we called the Goblin Royalty Package, or the seat of the Goblin King's table.
Mm-hmm.
And these tickets were for a couple. You get a chair on a throne. You get a throne. You get your own throne. You get a goblin servant to serve you all night long.
Oh, nice.
And the bar is open for you all night long. So you have a little supplicant goblin groveling servant to bring you bottomless beer and wine and food all night long. You get to pick some of the music that plays. You get a incredible VIP gift bag. I'm actually in charge of putting together the gift bags for all the VIP packages and the costume contest winners. And I've got to say, I'm putting together some really amazing stuff. It is definitely worth the price. I am definitely making it worth the price that people paid to get these items.
That's cool. And this is all you did this, but this actually goes to help the center, right? Or does it help?
Well, a big fundraiser for the center. Absolutely.
Yeah, and the center, again, guys, this is it's a center, so it's not like they have buckets of money all over. So
no, we're not a very good nonprofit organization dedicated to the art of puppetry in the country. You know, we as many wonderful things as we do, you know, it's very challenging to run a full-time puppet theater that does shows all year round. We don't have any dark time. And a museum and an education department and outreach and a distance learning program. So yeah, it's all of that. All of those ticket sales go to making sure that we can continue to put on puppet shows for kids and create a great environment for puppetry.
Now, we talked a little bit briefly before we started recording, and I'm not sure if this is one of the guests you can talk about or not, but one of DragonCon's own. You talked about that.
Yeah, Stacy Gordon. So Stacy's been a guest, actually a pro in the track for years now.
Right.
And Stacy, in the time that I've known her, and I've known about this story for about 2 years now, but I've kind of had to keep, you know, it under my hat.
Mm-hmm.
Stacy is now on Sesame Street.
Yay!
He was hired to play the character Julia, who is the first autism spectrum character on Sesame Street.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I know Julia. I've seen some of the little things you're putting out there. That's awesome. Absolutely.
And it was so cool. Part of Stacey's journey when she was at Dragon Con, not last year, but the year before, when we had Pam Arciero and Leslie Cara Rudolph, who are both Sesame Street performers,
mm-hmm.
person. And part of that in-person meeting was what led to her audition.
Wow.
Oh, awesome.
And so Stacey's going to do a whole panel about her journey from, you know, being a puppeteer in Phoenix, Arizona. She's a second generation puppeteer. Puppetry runs in her family. And she's been doing this, you know, for just about her entire life. And when she was able to meet Leslie at a puppetry festival, and then she's got to spend more time with Leslie and with Pam and meet Pam at the convention. Mm-hmm. Pam plays Grungetta, who's like the female Oscar on Sesame Street. And those conversations led to her audition. And so it's really amazing. Now we've had lots of Sesame Street performers now at Dragon Con, and mm-hmm. it's really amazing as the puppetry track director to know that Dragon Con is part of Sesame Street now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is pretty awesome.
That is awesome. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. And okay. So now what are you doing at Dragon Con, Bo?
What do I do? Well, yeah, I host the slam.
You're just running around and stuff, but
he does nothing. He takes naps.
Any panels or anything like that? That's not right.
No, I don't do any panels. We used to do a Bob and Carl panel. We don't do that anymore. Generally, my sort of Dragon Con functioning is I'm about three panels ahead. And yeah. I'm troubleshooting and I'm putting out fires and I'm running around and making sure everything runs smoothly. And then I'm kind of a ghost. I just sort of drift in and out and make sure things are not on fire. And if they are on fire, then I fix them. And then other than that, I kind of just work in the shadows and work on the sidelines.
Which any good puppeteer does.
Exactly.
So you're pulling the strings of your track. Oh my God, John, that's a terrible pun. Oh my God. Horrible.
Listen,
everybody.
That is the worst ever.
Bo's trying to tell us. Okay, go ahead. Yes, Bo.
Every single journalist, you know, because I work in the marketing department at the Center for Puppeteer Arts.
Oh boy.
And every single article by every single journalist, it doesn't matter what style of puppetry it is. It doesn't matter if it's marionettes or not.
Yep.
Every single journalist wants the title of their article like, "He's the puppet master pulling the strings." I'll tell you what.
What?
The term puppet master is a term that we, as puppeteers, we use very rarely.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Only time we use that term is we use it to describe one of our eldest who has the given us the gift of passing the art form down to other people.
So someone like Carol Spinney.
Carol would fall into that category. It's really something. It's a term that we don't give out lightly because we feel like it's really overused. People want to call me a puppet master, and I'm like, please don't do that. Please don't do that. It is really a term reserved for us to refer to other puppeteers.
Well,
and then the whole pulling strings, world on a string, any combination of the word string, you know, marionettes are only one of the five basic types of puppets. There's so much puppets that doesn't involve actual strings. I feel like whenever I do interviews, I especially print interviews where you kind of don't know how it's going to come out. To be like, whatever you do, do not call me a puppet master and do not use the word strings anywhere in the title of your interview. Yeah,
well, my excuse is that I'm a dad and it's a dad joke. So
it was a dad joke. Yeah, no, but I also think it's very funny that you're like, no, please don't, because I'm like,
You know, everything I've ever seen you do, and I, that's me, has always been that your hand is kind of up the puppet. So you have a lot of hand puppets that I have seen. That I know that's not all you do, but
it's no, like, I was actually trained in marionettes by Philip Huber.
Really?
You know the movie Being John Malkovich?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
So all of the marionettes that are featured in that film were performed by Philip Huber.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
I got my marionette training by Philip at the Eugene O'Neill Puppetry Conference. I spent a week, a very intense week with him working on my act. And he is an incredible teacher, an incredibly generous and kind person who also is exceptionally gifted at making you feel really guilty when you're not working.
That's a good job. That's
no, he is it's always been a goal of mine to bring him to DragonCon someday.
Okay. Do we have to go, like, you know, I was in Barstow when the bats descended and, like, put him in a bag and bring him, or just, like, keep begging him to come?
It's mostly that he does a lot of cruise ships and things like that, so he's usually booked. And, you know, yeah. He doesn't, you know, it's like if I wanted him to come and perform, mm-hmm. and that's something that we run into in the puppeteer track a lot, is that you know, a lot of guests at Dragon Con are coming to talk about the thing that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start asking someone to do the thing that they do, they obviously they want money because that's their livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And there isn't a lot of money for the shows. And it's very important for me to present actual puppet shows at Dragon Con. In addition to people talking about puppetry, it is, in my opinion, crucial for people to actually see real puppet shows.
I agree.
Right now, there is no money to pay for actual shows. So the big name performances, I'm not really able to get. Because that's just not the way, that Dragon Con works. But it is definitely something that I would love to do. Philip's work is amazing. And I would love for more people to see it, especially Dragon Con people.
Well, and I think what I love about this track too, and you know, Sesame Street is still on. There are other things. Fraggle Rock is on DVD and things like that. And I think is it on Netflix or Hulu right now? I don't know, but
I don't think Fraggle Rock is on streaming, but I might be wrong.
It might be on Amazon that you can like buy it and it'll stream along with the DVDs or whatever. But one of the things that I love is that I don't want this to be a lost art. This is amazing. And it's not. And I love that we have something talking about, you know, something like, you know, Snuffleupagus and then Critters, because relatively Critters is new. And then you're also talking about other people doing new stuff and you're doing new stuff. I think it's really good that we get all of those different groups in there because it's so cool, guys. Puppets, I can't do what they do.
That's always been one of the main ideas behind the puppetry track, is that it is kind of a giant trick that I play on Dragon Con, right? Like, you know, I'm like, hey, you know the Muppets, right? You like Star Wars, right? You like Sesame Street, right? And I bring in these Henson guests and I bring in these Sesame guests and I get the Star Wars guests. And then we also do live puppet theater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, last year we did something called the Shadow Puppet Shadow Cabaret, which was a variety show of nothing but shadow puppet shows. And we packed the heck out of it.
Yep.
I mean, literally people were standing on top of themselves in that show. And that's because we called it the Shadow Cabaret and it was late at night and people were like, ooh, what's that? Right. But those are the kinds of people who would never go to a puppet theater. They would never go see a full length shadow puppet show.
Yeah.
They would never even see a shadow puppet show. But by injecting it into Dragon Con, those people did. I have the ability to lure people in with Muppet stuff, but then expose them to live tabletop puppet theater or Booner Coup puppet theater or, you know, all these other types of puppet theater that aren't TV or film. Which is really all your general audience, and especially a DragonCon audience, knows about puppetry, is stuff they've seen on TV and in movies.
Yeah.
And that's the really core mission of the track, is to celebrate puppetry and pop culture and expose DragonCon attendees to the art of live puppet theater. That is what we do.
And then you get to use a cool term like pucking puppet shit. I'm getting it out right. Wait, you get to use weird little puns about puppets where you use F's instead of P's. And P's instead of F's.
That would be our live open mic show here in Atlanta. Yes, the Puck and Puppet Show.
There you go. And so people go and see that. There you go. And I'm so glad you can say it because my lisp and stutter are just jumping right out.
Just your natural, okay. Inclination to.
Yes.
It was not my natural. Stop it, John.
What do you call it again, Bo? I'm sorry.
I encourage other people to call it the PF show. It's the Puck and Puppet Show. Yeah. Just abbreviate it, and it's cool.
By the way,
Puck and Puppet Show will be back in October, and we will do shows for Halloween in October. We'll do a holiday show in December, and we'll do a Valentine's Day show in February. And those shows will be at the Village Theater here in Atlanta.
And by the way, folks that are looking for Fraggle Rock, it is not streaming on a service anywhere, but you can get it from Amazon as a purchase. So,
and the DVD is totally worth it. It's a really great DVD set. Buy the whole set, just do it. It's great. And I'll tell you what, of a lot of the things, a lot of the Henson projects, the movies, you know, even the Muppet movies, I honestly think Fraggle Rock holds up the best. Because it really isn't locked into a time.
Right. Yeah.
It is very timeless. And I think that it holds up exceptionally well.
Yeah. It's just singing that song every time it comes on is awesome too. So sorry. It is. I love it. I love that song.
We do have some more Star Wars stuff this year. Puppeteers, but I feel very confident that we will get them back next year.
Okay.
It sort of seems like we'll get them every other year before the next, movie with BB-8 comes out is what it seems to be from my conversations with them.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody get excited about next year for more BB-8. But this year we have Mr. Nick Malley, and Nick Malley worked on all the Star Wars films. He was one of the principal creature folks for the Mos Eisley Cantina Creatures. So there'll be a whole panel on the Mos Eisley Creatures. And then he has a panel on Yoda. And this is breaking news for you guys. He has since created his own Yoda replica puppet that will be at Dragon Con.
I got to find a time to go see that because I am Yoda is probably my favorite character.
Right. And Yoda will be at Dragon. Now, obviously, you know, Frank Oz isn't there doing the voice, but
That's true.
Nick was on a team of people who built him for Empire Strikes Back. But I've seen the photos, I've seen video of the puppet, and the puppet looks great. I know there's going to be photo opportunities. We've never had Yoda and now we do. So, So now I'd like to say that after this year, we will have the two most famous green puppets of all time, have been at Dragon Con.
What was the first one?
Kermit.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
How did you forget Kermit?
I don't know.
So
it's not easy being green, good. John. It's
pretty good for Dragon Con having had Kermit and Yoda.
Yeah,
it's
that's pretty crazy. Yoda,
that crazy. That's kind of a good spectrum there. That's like whoosh of a spectrum there. Yeah.
So after that, we can get into some of my pros. So we have Bean and Bear. We'll be doing their late night Up Late with Bean and Bear show again, which was a huge hit last year. Last year it was a secret show, which meant that it wasn't part of official DragonCon programming. It was something that we kind of snuck in and then we promoted it on social media and we ended up filling the room and it was a hoot. So Bean and Bear will be back. We will have, let's see what else we'll have. We have 4 one person shows, puppet shows.
Oh, well, wow.
Dana Samborski called Fernway. Lion Hill, who is the artistic director of the Columbia Marionette Theater, will be doing his one-man show called Solitary Stories. We'll have Vanessa Valliere's one-woman show called Honorable Mention. And I think we have one more. No, I think that's those are those. But then Mr. Mike Horner will be back this year. Now, Mike is really an incredible anomaly to the track. He is the single-handedly most popular. When you look at the feedback from the app, from the DragonCon app,
mm-hmm.
Mike does one-man glove puppetry shows. So think like Punch and Judy.
Yeah.
He does a Star Wars show and a Doctor Who show. His two shows, the Star Wars show and the Doctor Who show, are the single most popular events that we do at DragonCon in the puppetry track that aren't whoever the big, huge name guest is. Like, if it's not Carol Spinney, if it's not Brian Henson, Mike's shows are, he completely packs giant ballrooms for these little puppet shows. And they are amazingly funny. The Star Wars show this year is the Timey-Wimey Puppet Show.
Mm-hmm.
And the Doctor Who show is the Timey-Wimey Puppet Show, which is all brand new. It's all based on this previous year's worth of Doctor Who. And then the Star Wars show this year is called A Very Merry Death Star Holiday Special.
Nice.
That's a scary name, but yay.
Yeah, so definitely be looking forward to some Wookiee Life Day references.
Oh, God. Yeah.
His shows, I mean, and, you know, we talk about getting in line early for the Puppet Slam, but Mike's shows, get in line early for them. He's in giant ballrooms, but his shows completely fill up because they hit the sweet spot at Dragon Con between puppet show and super geeky subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in big giant ballrooms that he completely fills with just himself and his puppets. And it's amazing.
Do we know when those shows are tentatively scheduled for?
Yes, I can in fact tell you that information.
Tentatively.
Everything's tentative.
Tentatively scheduled.
Especially since we have about a month at this point. There's still plenty of time for them to be moved.
Always.
You will have the Timey-Wimey Puppet Show on Saturday at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And you will have a Very Merry Death Star Holiday Special on Sunday at 1 p.m.
Okay. And those shows are what, about 45 minutes long or hour long?
Yeah, they're 45 minutes long, an hour long, yeah. And they're musicals, they're songs and everything. In addition to that, the other performance that I really want to mention is called Milo the Magnificent. Milo the Magnificent will be Friday at 2:30. Milo is a show created by two people who have been to DragonCon in the past, and Milo has performed in the DragonCon Puppet Slam, the late night Puppet Slam in the past. The Alex Vernon and Sarah Olmsted, who are the puppeteers behind Milo the Magnificent, recently got a Jim Henson Foundation grant to develop their work into a full-length show.
Oh.
Yeah, they're a big deal. I have personally been a huge advocate for their work. I think it's some of the best live puppetry really out there today. I'm actually booking them for a puppetry festival in Montreal next year that I'm super excited about. Their show is going to be amazing. It's going to be one of those things that you're going to hear people talk about and you didn't see it kind of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Milo the Magnificent, 2:30 Friday, go see it. Get in line, go see it. It is going to blow you away.
Ooh.
It's family friendly. It's going to be so good. And a lot of my other solo shows are adult shows that are in the evening. This is one of the family friendly ones. I really, really, really suggest that everyone go try to see it. It will blow you. I guarantee you have never seen anything like it, unless of course you saw it at the Puppet Slam. But this is the full length. This is the full length version. It's all new material. Please, 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 Milo the Magnificent, go see it.
There you go.
And I don't have. I'm not on a panel at that time, so that works out for me.
Fantastic.
Oh, I'll put you on one, John.
Oh no, that's okay. You don't have to do that.
No, because I really actually think I did. I should, because, you know, I haven't won a game yet.
Oh, that's your problem. So,
that's not my problem.
So before we cut off to our final our game here that we like to play at the end, are there any other tracks you or any other sessions you definitely want us to know about?
Sure. Well, there's a couple of things. One is not this; it's not in the puppetry track, but it is something I've been working on for 2 years now. And Paul Rudolph is the music director at Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. He's married to Leslie Carrera Rudolph, who is Abby Cadabby on Sesame Street, who's been a guest several times at Dragon Con. And he has a band called Glank.
Glank.
G-L-A-N-K. Glank is a band at Dragon Con this year.
Oh, great.
And it is all based on sort of like the science of music, and it's heavy on percussion. It's a lot of found object percussion. So it's like percussion on propane gas tanks and circular saw blades. There's a lot of audience participation. They're going to give out instruments and have people play it. I look up Glank on YouTube. They're going to be, I think, another one of those sort of sleeper hits of Dragon Con. See something really, really totally unique. Think kind of Blue Man Group, but it's not Blue Man Group, but it's like such a weird musical group that, you know, it's in that sort of vein of something that you wouldn't expect from a band. Mm-hmm. I highly recommend going to see Glank. We've also got in within the track, we have, as always, the Magic Puppet Tea Party hosted by Stacy, where you can bring your own puppets and hang out with professional puppeteers performing their puppets all in character. So you stay through the entire party. It's like a social mixer for puppets.
Now we've mentioned this before. You have to have a puppet to.
You have to have a puppet to get in the door. And you have to. And that doesn't mean put a sock on your hand. That's not the spirit of what we're doing. What we're doing is we're trying to put amateur puppeteers who are serious about learning the craft with their puppets in a room with professional puppeteers puppeteering and watching and interacting together. That's an incredible learning opportunity that is incredibly unique to Dragon Con. Nobody else does that. So I highly recommend any of you who are amateur puppet builders and you want to bring your puppet, or you've bought your puppet on the internet or whatever, and you're just getting started, come to the Magic Puppet Tea Party, bring your puppet. We're going to have a great time. Let's see. What else do we have? We'll have some mechanism panels on Monday. We've got some other stuff I still can't mention, unfortunately.
Oh, that's such a tease.
I know.
Hey, watch the...
I wish I could, but it's just not the contract.
I'm a director. I know. Yep.
But we have clowning and puppetry, which is new this year, where you can learn about really just like getting into your body, and folks who are interested in clowning and puppetry, I think we'll get a lot out of it. We have finding the character's voice with Paul Rudolph from Sesame Street and Marty and Annie, which is we talked about that it's for voice actors and for puppeteers.
Yeah.
We have puppetry on Broadway, which we'll talk about shows like Shrek, Little Shop of Horrors, Lion King, Avenue Q, by people who have been in those shows. Let's see. That's most of the highlights. There's definitely more to see, but those are definitely the highlights.
All right. Cool.
There we go.
So let everybody know where they can find the puppetry track at DragonCon and where they can get more info. And, when the breaking news comes out, where they can get that information from.
You can follow, you can join the group, Dragon Con Puppetry Track on Facebook. Okay. That's where I roll out all of my information. You can, the Dragon Con Puppetry Track is in Marriott A704. That's Atrium Level 704. We also have the puppetry merch booth right outside where you can buy puppets. You can buy items from our guests. So if you are really interested in one of our panels that does involve bringing your own puppet, but maybe you don't have one, you can purchase one, and then get involved. and that helps support a lot of our pros who are coming, you know, who don't necessarily get, you know, free hotel rooms and free flights to mm-hmm. Atlanta. So please go and buy puppets and support those artists. There will be a Insight Editions. We'll be in the dealer's room with the Dark Crystal Ultimate Visual History book. This will be at Dragon Con. The first time this book will be available will be at Dragon Con. It is an incredible book. I've seen some samples out of it. Last year, they debuted the Labyrinth Ultimate Visual History book. And we had copies of that last year. So please go to the Inside Editions booth in the dealer's room. Pick up the new Dark Crystal book. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be full of behind-the-scenes photos and behind-the-scenes stories and everything. If you're a Dark Crystal fan, it's a must-have. It's an absolute must-have for your collection. I think that's about it. It's a very solid year. I'm really excited to do. We also have some cool stop-motion stuff that I am not that the Kyoto Brothers will be doing and some other stuff I'm not at liberty to discuss yet, but.
So head on over to that Facebook group and watch.
That's right. Join in. And if you're interested in, and if you're interested in getting involved with the puppetry track, then the best way to do that is to volunteer to help out in the puppetry merch booth. We accept volunteers. It's a great way to hang out outside the track room, meet the puppeteers, help out the track, get involved. And sometimes, you know, you get to meet somebody really cool.
And if someone is interested in that, they could reach you through the Facebook group, right?
Correct.
Okay, cool. Cool. Well, Bo, this is the part of the show where we play a game with our guests and Lee then gets frustrated. So what this year, what we're doing is I'm going to give you a choice of three topics. We're going to do three rounds of this. I'm going to give you a choice of three topics. You pick one. And we'll go back and forth between you and Lee, naming as many items from that particular topic as you can. So if I was to say to you, for example, 80s television shows, you would say?
I would say Knight Rider, Magnum P.I.
So you'd have to say one thing. And then Lee?
You say one of them. And I would say A-Team.
And then you would say, then Bo would say? Magnum PI or whatever. So we just go back and forth until we run and until either one of you fails and doesn't can't think of another one, or we get to 10, because otherwise sometime this could just go on forever. So what I do here is I got a list of things, and I actually do. My son just disappeared. I was going to have him verify that I was refreshing the screen. Oh, because it would be nice if he did verify this. So, Bo, your choice of three topics to start with are named sci-fi starships, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy characters, or Sesame Street characters.
Ooh, well, my starship knowledge is medium at best. Mm-hmm. What was the second category?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy characters. Hitchhiker's
Guide. I do like Hitchhiker's Guide, but I think the safe bet will definitely be Sesame Street.
Okay, hold on one second. Let me just verify. William, you're standing over here. Can you verify what it says right there on the screen? Read those three things out.
Named sci-fi starships, Hitchhiker's Guide characters, Sesame Street characters.
Now, watch what happens when I hit control. When I hit control R,
I'm sorry. It sounds like you. Right? It totally sounds like you.
Okay. All right.
There's also carry over.
Well, it did, but it's random because there's a little random number that appears over here. Okay. So anyway,
but he said it carried over Sesame Street, right?
Well, because let me hit it again. Now, is it on there this time? No.
No.
Okay. Just say no because you want to continue
totally
to live here.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, right here,
all right.
Go away. All right, go away, William.
All right. So Sesame Street characters. Bo, we will start with there's been an ongoing debate of whether I'm being fair here, Bo. Okay, so we will start with you. Name one.
All right, Victor.
Lee.
Snuffleupagus.
Bo.
The Count Von Count.
Lee.
Grover.
Cookie Monster.
Oh, yep. Lee. Back to you again.
Oscar.
Bo.
The Grouch.
Slimy.
Lee.
Elmo.
Abby Cadabby.
Lee.
Juanita.
Julia.
Lee.
I'm out.
All right. All right. So you also get, by the way, if you win the round, you do get 2 bonus points. So you get 2 bonus points for that. So now Lee gets to pick a category, and we will hit refresh. And okay, Hitchhiker's Guide came up. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy characters. Name sci-fi starships came up again, and Masters of the Universe characters. So which of those?
This is interesting. So I guess we're gonna have to go with the first one.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy characters. Okay, yeah. So go ahead, Lee.
Ford Prefect.
Zaphod Beeblebrox.
Lee, back
I'm
to you.
I'm done. Yeah, I'm done. Honest to God, I couldn't do any better.
You want
to
give one more just to rub it in?
Just, yeah.
Marvin?
Yep, there you go.
Marvin, yeah, Marvin the sad robot, yep.
All right. And for our last round, let's see, hitting control R again.
I'm betting it's going to be something like name the 5
no
freestyles or something.
Fictional languages, races of Star Wars, races of races from Star Wars.
Star Trek.
You know what I mean?
Oh, no, from Star Wars.
Star Wars. Yes, yes. So, well, I don't want to give any away. Or sci-fi authors. Bo, you get to pick. By the way.
Oh man, I was really hoping Masters of the Universe characters would come up there because that's my total fandom. That's like my number one fandom is Masters.
Is it really? I mean, dead serious. Is that really?
Yeah, for real. Like I am a gigantic Masters of the Universe fan.
I'm so glad I didn't check that because I only know like He-Man and Skeletor and then the
I can name all of them.
Yeah, nope. Glad I didn't choose that
one. You can run it.
It's gotta be Star Wars races, I guess.
Okay. Oh, Star Wars races. Right. Bo, start.
Let's see. Calamarian. Calamarian. Yeah,
close enough. Lee.
Yeah, it's close enough. We'll go with Ewok.
Bo.
Wookiees.
Lee.
Carillion.
Yeah. Bo. The humans.
All right.
Let's see, the sand people.
Good enough.
Jawas.
Okay.
Huts.
Ooh, Lee.
The clones from the prequels.
Okay. Sure.
All right, fine. Droids. I'm counting clones, I count droids.
Yeah, I would give you that one. Wait, John, hold on. I'm kind of laughing at that.
Okay, you're done laughing.
Alderaanians? Alderaan? So people from Alderaanian? Alderaan?
Those are humans.
Oh. All
right.
I don't know. It's a John, what's your ruling on that?
Well, I don't want to make a ruling.
Okay, wait, I got one. Then sand people.
Lots of emails. We already said sand people.
Whatever Greedo is, I don't know what he is though.
You have to know what he is. Okay, Bo wins that round. Let me do the totals and while we're doing it let everybody know where you're located one more time while I do the totaling here.
We're located. The Puppetry Track is located in Marriott Atrium Level A704. Although we have lots and lots of large room events because our programming is awesome.
And remember, I imagine
guys,
it requires
Marriott.
Go on.
Sorry.
Go on, Lee.
Marriott means middle.
Yes.
It's Marriott means middle.
The heart of the dragon.
A means atrium.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all you got to know. Marriott, atrium, middle.
Star Wars, where the bridges, like, okay, so if you're coming in from the sky bridges.
Uh-huh.
Normally, you take a right to go to the lobby area, the atrium. You take a left instead off of the sky bridges. It's where the blood drive used to be.
There you go.
For our people who've been there before, Star Wars is over there. Kaleidoscope is over there. We're in the back left corner.
Awesome.
Kaleidoscope has moved, right? Kaleidoscope's actually no longer there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've moved. They've moved over to Lee's old room.
Gotcha. Well, I hope everyone comes and checks out our awesome programming this year. Thank you guys so much for having me on. It's been a blast.
Thank you for coming on. Again, check out the Facebook group. That's where you're going to get all this breaking news that we couldn't talk about here tonight.
Yes.
But so again, Bo, thank you for all the work you do and bringing all this awesome, awesome puppetry to the masses, as well as all your volunteers doing all the work that they do just to get the show on its feet and done.
For sure.
So until next time, for Bo and Lee, this is John saying, oh, hold on one second. By the way, the final score was Bo 19, Lee 10. Until next time, peace.
Good journey.
Bye. And I hate John.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.